It is time to be joined by our friends from the BerkshireEdge.com, David and Marcy. They join us here on a Wednesday morning. We rebroadcast it on the weekend as well with a look at some of the stories that you'll find at the BerkshireEdge.com. And when I do say some of the stories, I just mean a touch of the stories, because they have so many different stories that they put out day in and day out. And we say good morning to both David and Marcy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning.
Now, I have a question for you. I didn't realize it.
Only one?
Yeah, well, yes, because I didn't realize this had happened so quickly.
What?
The traffic circle, has that been constructed?
Yeah, well, it's, yes.
Because I've had some people call me and talk to me about it.
Yes, what have they said?
Well, it's funny. It's like everything in life. Half of them think it's going to be a great idea. They realize that it's not fully done, but the other half just think it's a total boondoggle.
Well, it has been done. It's not complete yet. There is I think the roadbed is a little uneven. You know, I never thought it was necessary, but it has been. I mean, it's pretty much done. I don't think that you could say it's completed. Is that right, David? I haven't been there in a few days.
That's right.
But they seem to have done it, and it seemed to have taken them less time than I anticipated.
That's why I was stunned. I'm saying to myself, my God, this is a public works project that actually Zoom's got done right away.
Yes, whereas the one that we really need, which is a bridge at Route 183 and Division Street, I mean, that's been out for several years. And, you know, and they're supposed to put a temporary bridge up by September, and, you know, we don't know if that's going to happen. But the roundabout seems to have been done.
Okay, well, I
mostly. I mean, I don't think it's completely paved evenly. I think there's supposed to be some curbs around it, but there is a roundabout there.
All right. Well, we'll get onto the stories. I just had to ask you that question because I said, "Geez, I thought we were just talking about it going to construction and it's done already." Holy smokes!
Yeah, it only took them a few weeks. I mean, again, I don't know how you feel about this, David, but I didn't see why we needed it.
No, I don't either. Other than it's a New England tradition to have a roundabout.
Well, all I can say is I lived in Kingston, New York. And in Kingston, New York, where the New York Thruway joins in Route 28.
Oh, yes, there's a roundabout.
It used to be a guy who ran the radio station I worked for, one of the radio stations that I worked for, Harry Thayer, used to call it the Black Hole of Calcutta because it wasn't lit. And at night, it was truly terrifying. But now they've redone it. It's a traffic circle within a traffic circle. I mean, you can stay in the outside lane, and that way it directs you to the thruway and to Route 28 in different ways. Or you go through the inside lanes, and then that takes you to the more local routes, either uptown or downtown. It's the mother of all traffic circles. That's all going. Well, anyways, we'll get off traffic circles and get on to the news.
That is news.
Well, it is. I was amazed that it was done that quickly. The People's Pantry, the local food co-op, they need help. They need more donations.
Yes,
they do.
Yes. The demand has gone way up in the last couple of years. You know, they have this People's Pantry twice a week. And
well, it's open twice a week. Yeah.
Yes, right. But they're collecting for it constantly. I mean, this is really an amazing operation. I mean, there really were
run by volunteers.
Yes,
right.
And there really were two men who started it in town a couple of years ago. And I'm confusing with Berkshire Bounty. Sorry, but anyway, I mean, it has. You know, when the pandemic happened, they had lots of volunteers. Then they had a terrible need for volunteers. Now they seem to have stabilized. You know, people sort of got burned out on volunteering about a year into the pandemic, and so a lot of organizations like this were begging for more volunteers. Now they seem to have enough volunteers, but they don't have enough food. So they are asking for donations, not about food, but, you know, for money so they can buy food.
Yeah, Sunday in the Country Food Drive just was the Salisbury Chamber of Commerce held their annual golf tournament. They raised about $6,000 that they donated to the Sunday in the Country Food Drive. But I think most food pantries are experiencing exactly what you are seeing there,
right,
which is after the pandemic, there's been an increase in the amount of food that is being requested on a regular basis, and the donations has not matched that increase.
Right, right.
Well, for, you know, it's been open for 23 years, and this, the People's Pantry, and they've never had a fundraiser before.
Is it 23 years?
Yeah, 23.
It's in 1999.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry. Right.
And so it's, this is a, you know, they're kind of in an emergency because of the pandemic, which is just made the demand go way up, and
it's not a short term demand; it's a long term demand. It's going to be it's going to be a long term demand. I think the food pantries around here, I think, are talking about a 25% increase in the demand for food.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, food has become so expensive. You know, there is sort of a conundrum because every place in town is looking for help. You know, so it's not like there aren't jobs available, but apparently the jobs that are available don't pay enough to support people, and the price of food has gone way up in the last year. So, I mean, I'm shocked every time I check out at the grocery store. I mean, I can't get out of there, you know, for even just incidentals for less than $100.
I was just going to say, I remember when I was first married many, many years ago in Kingston, New York, I had a family, myself, my wife, and there were two children. And we would go to the store twice a month, and we would spend, I want to say, maybe $95 to $100 and come out of there with two carts that were just packed.
Right.
And now I order my groceries from local stores delivered. I order my groceries, and this is no lie, it's two paper bags, and it's anywhere from $70 to $100.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. I mean, it's, you know, we spend $100 on cat food.
It's unbelievable.
Not to mention food for us and, you know, David's two boys.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely unbelievable, it's just me and my animals in my house. That's it.
Right. No, it's so I think this is the, you know, yeah. I mean, people have said, you know, and we've gotten comments, you know, why is the such an increase when there are jobs available. But I think the answer is that many of the jobs that are available just don't keep up with the cost of living.
Well, around here, most of the jobs that are available are in restaurants and facilities like that. And yes, in Connecticut, there's a $15 minimum wage. But once again, not as many people are going out. And you really make, when you work at a restaurant, on tips. Also, supermarkets need employees. But
all the shops are in need of employees. The hotels are in need of employees, and it's, you know.
This is one of the odd things about this area, which is, you know, so, you know, it has this glossy sheen to it of, you know, a tourist center and. You know, many very important cultural events and institutions, but the fundamental population who lives here is pretty poor.
And it all goes back to two words: affordable housing.
Yes, it does. No, I think you're right.
Yeah, it all goes back to two words: affordable housing. So young people who used to fill those jobs and do those jobs could find housing that afforded them the ability to live and also hold those jobs. It's just,
right.
Yep.
And that is not going away.
No, it's not anytime soon.
But in any case, we have to say that the the People's Pantry has been volunteers have kept this thing, started this thing, and have maintained it, and it's a really an institution that has many people are very fond of.
So we urge people to donate. I mean, it really is the best of neighbors taking care of neighbors, which is our New England tradition.
And people, you supply the link and everything for people to donate
too. Yes, we did.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did. And we have a nice article about why they need it and what's happening. So.
All right. What's going on to W.E.B. Du Bois? Once again, Great Barrington will celebrate the life of Du Bois on August 27th.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. W.E.B. Du Bois, the famous civil rights writer who was born in 1868.
and died in 1963.
So he was a native... He wrote many seminal civil rights books and calling for equal treatment of blacks in America. And he lived here in Great Barrington.
He was born in Great Barrington, too. So, and it's been, he has been a controversial figure in Great Barrington. So, because...
In his old age,
he became a communist, and many people in this community will never forgive him for that. They forget that he also founded the NAACP, that he was a brilliant writer, and he also made, when he came back to make a speech at one of the high school graduations, he made an incredible speech about the river and the need for... environmental protection. I mean, it was a moving and beautiful speech.
And inspirational and such a forward-looking address.
Yes.
And at the time, the Housatonic River was so polluted with residue from the paper mills that upstream that from Great Barrington that the river was foamy white. It was completely contaminated with residue from the paper mills. And this outraged Du Bois.
Who had grown up here. So
yes.
There is a very interesting woman named Rachel Fletcher who lives in Great Barrington, and she founded the Great Barrington River Walk and the Du Bois River Garden. She is she has helped organize this celebration of Du Bois on August 27th.
And she has been, over the years, a tireless and a very effective, I might say, proponent of having the river cleaned up.
Right.
Which, in fact, largely it has been.
Except for the PCBs.
Well, yes. But
right.
A lot of the residue from the paper mills is no longer contaminating the river anyways.
Yes, in large part because most of the paper mills are no longer functioning. But there are still some, but they're not dumping into the river the way they used to. And so we now have, we have three organizations that are organizing this event. We now have the Du Bois Freedom Center, which is right here in Great Barrington. We've talked before about the restoration of the Clinton Church, which was an African-American church in downtown Great Barrington, where the community is so small now that they could no longer maintain the church building. But there is a nonprofit organization that has taken over the and raised money for the restoration of the Clinton Church, and they in last month they changed their name to the Du Bois Freedom Center, and they are developing themselves as a center for African American history here. So the event is co-organized by the Du Bois Freedom Center, the NAACP Berkshires, and the Great Barrington Land Conservancy, which of course follows his Du Bois's interest in environmental justice. So this should be it's going to start at the Du Bois Center at with readings of the event will start at the Du Bois River Park. There'll be readings of poetry, there'll be music and speeches, and then it will continue with a walking tour of historical sites connected to Du Bois. And finally, there'll be a reception at the AME Zion Church, which is where the Du Bois Freedom Center will take place. And in the case of rain, it will be held at the First Congregational Church, which is where Du Bois was a member, and the First Congregational Church actually paid his tuition to go to
Harvard.
I think it was to Fisk first, and then he went to Harvard.
Yep.
So anyway, the town is finally recognizing its most famous native son, and also the variety of contributions that he made, both in terms of racial justice and environmental justice.
All right, let's move on here to the Railroad Street Youth Project.
Oh, yes.
Yes, another good cause.
right. You know, I must say, this is such an active community. It really is amazing. So, we have established and are continuing to grow our Business Monday section. We are, trying to focus on Mondays. On the activities of businesses in the Berkshires and what being in the Berkshires means for running or what it is to run a business in the Berkshires, and we are including in that nonprofit businesses because they are businesses. So we had a very nice story this week about the Railroad Street Youth Project, which is a long-standing effort to help kids, in many ways. And what this article focuses on is a special project that they have during the summer to help high school juniors and seniors figure out what they're planning to do next after they graduate from high school. So this is not so much a look at how the business of the Railroad Street Youth Project, but how they are preparing young people to go into businesses and careers, because there's so many kids who are graduating from high school, they have no idea what to do with themselves. And this is a program, it's called the Railroad Street Youth a Student Empowerment Program, and it's offering young people the chance to explore their goals and their potential next steps after high school. It's talking to them about budgeting, it's talking to them about careers, it's talking to them about how to write resumes, how to explore employment possibilities. It's really, and it also gives them an opportunity to apply for tuition to
Berkshire Community College
and to four-year colleges as well.
Yep.
Well, let's continue on with good news, because you've got another good news story about, I love this, the Corner of Kindness.
Oh.
this is for the hikers.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This time of year, we are there are many in the downtown Great Barrington, you will see many people walking with their backpacks, their heavy, heavy backpacks, and what they are people who are traversing the Appalachian Trail.
And they come out
from Georgia to Maine.
And they come out. I mean, the Appalachian Trail is in Lee. It goes through
right.
Lee, and they come off the trail, and they come into Great Barrington looking for showers and food and some
a little bit of a break from their
phone connections and electricity to recharge their phones and
right. And so what is what the first Congregational Church in has set up a little
actually it's several churches. It's the
several
First
churches,
Congregational
yes.
Church and the Christ Trinity Church and other churches in the area.
Right. Have all set up a kind of like a little what they call a quarter of kindness, which is they can a place where they can kind of take a break.
Well, you know, we have that in Salisbury. The Appalachian Trail runs right through the heart. And in the summertime, especially, the hikers come into town, and everybody treats them with respect and help them out as much as they can, because it really is an amazing thing that they that they do, the time they take to traverse the different sections of the trail. Some people do it all at once. Other people take many summers to do different sections at different times. But when they come off that trail, they're a little rough.
And you know, the trail is famous.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, according to these volunteers, of how many hikers are from other countries.
Yep.
On the trail too. And it's but anyways, it's a delightful. We're welcoming these visitors.
All right. And let's go on to a debate that's coming on. Of course, it's for the sheriff position. But once again, the format is a little strange for debates. It's really not for the public. It's for the press.
And this is sort of done, organized by a private local blogger named Dan Valenti, who he's organized this, he's moderating. You know, we're having this, I think we talked about this once before. I mean, nobody ever paid any attention to the sheriff's race, nobody even knows what the sheriff does, although we are learning.
Well, you see them, you know, their primary responsibility, or one of their major responsibilities, is maintaining the jail.
Right.
Which is quite an impressive facility, actually, up in Lanesboro, in Pittsfield, which is the county jail. But they also do traffic duties too,
and they serve summonses for the court.
That's right. They serve summonses. So they are they're under the race for the sheriff's, for the county sheriff.
Yeah, but they have been, as David started, they have been under the radar for years.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I mean nobody paid any attention to the sheriff's race, but now there is somebody very publicly challenging the incumbent, and suddenly we're getting press releases every day about the Sheriff Bowler is the incumbent, and there's a man named Alf Barbalunga who is challenging him, and now they're going to meet for an in-person debate for the press only. Moderated by, some individual who's taken it upon himself to organize this debate. So,
right.
It should be...
should be interesting.
It should be interesting. And, I wonder, really, how much the public even knows about this, except there are lawn signs all over the place. And we have been... there have been emails... from both sides being sent to big mailing lists, including to us.
It'll be interesting to see how many people actually turn out and vote on that on election day.
Right. Well, yes, people turn out, but I wonder if they'll vote on this.
That's what I'm.
Right.
We'll see where on the list it goes. I mean,
right?
Because they're not used to it.
They're not used to voting for sheriff, and they don't even know what the sheriff does. And why this person is so eager to become the sheriff is another question.
it's a question that will be answered on election day.
Right.
Well, I know a little bit about the challenge, Tom Bowler.
Yeah.
His sister was a well-known reporter at the Berkshire Eagle. So when I was editor there, and she was great. But the sheriffs are, you know, they're, you see them at directing traffic at Tanglewood, you know.
Are those sheriffs?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, that's what they're, part of their duty is, is traffic duty at events. And so if you watch for them, you'll see them more than you think.
All right. Yeah. Well, these stories and more, of course, theberkshireedge.com. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Okay.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
You bet. Bye. Bye-bye.
TheBerkshireEdge.com on the web, and you can find them at RobinHoodRadio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on